this evening to book of Matthew chapter 25 and also the book of Luke chapter 16. Matthew chapter 25 and Luke chapter 16. In Matthew 25, we'd like to read verses 14 and verse 15. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then in the book of Luke chapter 16, I'd like to read verses 1 and verse 2. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Both of these passages are introductions to parables. The verses we read in Matthew are the introduction to the parable of the talents, and the passage we read in Luke is the introduction to the parable of the unjust steward. In both of those parables, Christ is teaching his disciples about service to the Lord. He is teaching them about the subject of stewardship. Now, a steward in the Bible was generally a slave who had been chosen out by his master to manage the affairs of his master's house. The word basically means a house manager. So a steward, while a slave himself, had charge over the other slaves of his master. He would dispense to those other slaves of his master's goods as they had need. The idea of a steward presents a very vivid picture of the relationship between God and his people. As you look at these two parables, as Jesus spoke these two parables, I believe as he was speaking, each disciple saw himself as a steward of God, as a steward who had been entrusted with a portion from his master. And every one of us that are saved need to consider ourselves and need to look at ourselves as a steward. We have been entrusted by God with a portion. And a steward basically was a trustee. A trustee of his master's goods. A steward is a trustee of what he is, of what he has, and what he may become. And that pretty much us. We too are stewards. God has given each one of us a portion. And we are stewards of who we are. We are stewards of what we have, and we are stewards of what we can become. Therefore, we are accountable. So I'm going to speak tonight on the subject of stewardship. It's a big subject, that we seriously considered preaching a series of messages on, but we're not going to. But it's a very large subject, the subject of stewardship. And I'm afraid it's a subject that many of God's people have lost sight of, and we have forgotten that we are stewards. That we are merely stewards of God. So the first thing we want to consider tonight is some lessons of stewardship, some lessons that just the subject itself teaches us. And then secondly, we want to look at some areas of stewardship. But first of all, some lessons. There is the lesson that the Lord is the sovereign master of all things, and that we are His servants. That is the first lesson of stewardship, that God is the master of all things. And again, that we are simply His servants. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the Lord compares Himself to a man traveling, there in verse 14, into a far country. The word traveling suggests that he's only gone away for a season. If you travel somewhere, you're coming back. And the Lord Jesus Christ is like a man who is traveling. In other words, He will return. We see here that He's like a man traveling into a far country. He's traveling there to accomplish something. When is He going to return? He's going to return when He accomplishes what He traveled to the far country for. As soon as that is accomplished, He's going to return. Now in John chapter 14, in verse 3, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." I go. In other words, I'm going to travel. I'm going on a trip. "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So the Lord is like a man traveling into a far country. He's coming back. He hasn't come back yet, but He's coming back. In the parable of the talents, we read that this man traveling into a far country called his own. Again, notice verse 14 there in Matthew 25. And notice the word own. His own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. Notice, the servants were His, and the goods were His. He is the master of all things. He is the owner of all things. He owns us, and He owns everything that He has given to us. He is the owner. They are His servants. They are His goods. In other words, His servants could not claim as their own either their persons or their goods. They both belong to God. That's true of you and I as well. The Lord has gone into heaven to prepare a place for us. In the meantime, He has given His servants His goods. We are His. Everything we have is His. Everything. This is the first lesson of stewardship. The Lord is the owner of all. This truth is taught all through the Word of God. In Exodus 19 and verse 5, the statement is made, "All the earth is mine." It all belongs to God. Everything in this earth, that which is seen, that which is not seen, it all belongs to Him. Psalm 50, verse 10, we read, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." In Haggai 2 and verse 8, "The silver is mine, The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. It all belongs to Him. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. David acknowledged this truth. Notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through verse 14. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power or authority and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We see again that it all belongs to God. Most people do not believe that. Most of God's people, though they say they believe it, they do not practice it. It all belongs to God. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. That is, everything in the earth is His. It's all His. You say, I've worked hard for such and such, and it's mine. It's never yours. It's always His. Your children are His. Your grandchildren are His. Everything is His. It's not ours. It's His. He's just loaned them to us. He has allowed us these things. But they're all His. This is the first lesson of stewardship. Paul said in Romans 14, in verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. We belong to Him. So the lesson of stewardship is that God owns it all. He owns everything. The second lesson of stewardship is that what we have, and this goes along with the first, if He owns it all, then what we have is not our own. But what we have is to be used for His honor and for His glory. When we say that God owns it all, we are also saying we own nothing. We own nothing. It all belongs to Him. Now, there are people who have problems with this. But you mark it down, those people are not serving God. And they will not serve God until they get past this. Until they realize that God owns it all. I own nothing. It's all His. Everything we have, God has allowed us to have. And therefore, it is His. It is His. And not ours. And therefore it is to be used for His glory. It is to be used how He would have us to use it. That ought to be our concern. God has allowed me to have such and such. God has given me such and such. How would God have me to use what He has loaned me? And then one day you're going to hear those words. Give account of thy stewardship. Give account of thy thy stewardship. So everything we have should center around Him, because He allowed us to have it. He gave it to us. Everything we have should be for Him. It should be devoted to Him. It should be surrendered to Him. That is, He is to be the driving force of our life. He's what it's all about. He's the owner. We are the stewards. It's not about popularity. It's not about notoriety. It's not about our ambitions. It's not about our plans. It's all about Him. What would He have me to do with what He has entrusted me with? Keep in mind, He's traveling. He's traveled to a place, but He's coming back. And when He comes back, we're going to have to give an account of our stewardship. There is also the lesson that all we have received, that we all have received something from God. Every one of us here tonight has received something from God. Again, in the parable of the talents, the master gave each one of his servants a talent. We read in verse 14 there, and delivered unto them his goods. The word delivered conveys the idea of entrusting. Entrusting to one something to keep. Entrusting to one something to use. Entrusting to one something to take care of and to manage. Everything that God has given us, He has entrusted them to us to use them. Whatever it is. To use whatever God has given us. To take care of whatever God has given us. And to manage. That's what a steward does. He manages his master's goods. He manages what his master has entrusted him with. And we are stewards. The talents are anything and everything that the Lord has given us to use upon this earth as a stewards. Our influence, we will give an account for. Our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our reason, our intellect, our affections, our privileges, our advantages, and on and on you could go, are all talents that God has entrusted us with. And they all come from God. They all come from the Lord. He is the bestower of each one. He is the one who has bestowed these goods upon us. And they are all on loan from God. Therefore, we are debtors. We are debtors to God. Because everything we have, He has loaned us. That makes us a debtor to the Lord. There is also the lesson that though we have all received something from God, we have not received equally. In the parable of the talents again, in Matthew 25, one servant received 5 talents. One servant received 2 talents. And one servant received 1. They all received something. Though they did not receive equally. Now, a talent was a large sum of money. In In fact, one talent was about 6,000 days of wages. So the one who received 5 talents was entrusted with about 82 years of wages. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. He was entrusted with that. The one who received 2 talents was entrusted with about 32 years of wages. And the one who received 1 talent was entrusted with about 16 years of wages. That's still a lot of money. So whatever it is that God has entrusted you with, though it may not be to the same degree that He's entrusted someone else, whatever He's entrusted you with, it's a lot. It's a huge amount. When you consider everything that you have, and I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about everything. Time, health, everything. He has entrusted it to us. We have been entrusted with riches. And we are responsible. Now, to each one of these was entrusted something of extreme value. And what we have been entrusted with tonight, you and I, every one of us here, is of extreme value. And how sad it is when we do not realize the value of what we have been entrusted with. The value. The value of time. The value of gifts. The value of life. Who can even begin to describe the value of these things? God has entrusted them to us. There is also the lesson of responsibility. We are responsible for whatever God has entrusted us. The man who had 1 talent was not responsible for 2 or 5. He was responsible for 1. The man who had 2 was not responsible for 5. He was responsible for 2. Each one was responsible for what God had given them. But not only that, each one was provided with an opportunity. Every time God gives you something, that makes you responsible. But it also gives you an opportunity to use it for His honor and for His glory. So each one of these servants had a duty. They each had a responsibility. They each had a debt of gratitude toward their master. Each of them were obligated to their master. Each of them were obligated to use what their master had given them. Each one of them were obligated to take care and to manage what their master had entrusted to them. But again, they were not only obligated. They were provided with an opportunity. They were provided with an opportunity to use what the Master had given them for His glory. And so it is with every single one of us. God has provided us things of great value. And we have a responsibility, an obligation, and we have opportunity. There is the lesson of accountability. The steward must give account. He must give account of his privilege. He must give account of his opportunity. In the parable of the talents, there came a time when each servant had to give an account to the master concerning what had been given to them. Again, each one was accountable for what they had. Nothing more, but nothing less either. Each one had to do something with what God had given him. The man who had five talents, he had to do something with that five talents. Whether he wasted it or used it, he had to do something. The one who was given two talents had to do something. The one who has given one talent had to do something. And everything that God gives us, we have got to do something with it. We're either going to use it, we're going to bury it or neglect it, but you have to do something with what God has given you. Every minute of every day that God has given you, you have to do something with it. Every gift, every ability, you have to do something with that. And we are accountable for what we do with what God has given us. How we manage and how we take care of what God has given us. In the parable of the unjust steward, there in Luke 16, there came a time when the master said to the one, and notice there, let's turn there in Luke 16. Notice the latter part of verse 1. He had wasted his goods. How sad. That's true of all of us to some degree. Every one of us have been given things of God that we have utterly squandered and wasted. Some of those things, such as time, you can never, ever get it back. It's gone. Gone forever. We're all guilty of waste. But how sad it is when there are God's people who are wasting away their lives. It may be because they feel sorry for themselves. It doesn't matter why they're wasting their lives. That's not going to matter when you hear those words, give account of thy stewardship. All your excuses will mean nothing. All your reasons will mean nothing. The word waste is a sad word. A very sad word. But the time came when these individuals were called upon to give an account of thy stewardship. And that time will also come for you and I. That time's going to come. And we want to look at some specific areas of stewardship. Again, we've all been entrusted with things of great value. You look, well, we'll get to that later. And we need to have some realization of what we have. The man who was given five talents knew he was given five talents. The man who was given two talents knew that he was given two talents. The man who was given one knew that he was given one. They all knew what they had. So if we're going to be a good steward, we have to have some realization of what God has given us. In Matthew 15, we'll not turn there, but in Matthew 15, we read of a crowd of over 4,000 people that had followed Jesus for 3 days, and they became tired and hungry. And Jesus said to his apostles, we need to feed them. His disciples were dismayed. And they said there in Matthew 15 and verse 33, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fulfill so great a multitude? Jesus looked at his disciples, and he said, how many loaves have ye? How many loaves do you have? He was calling them to realize what they had. Remember in the book of Exodus, when God was calling Moses, in Exodus chapter 4, I believe around verse 2 or verse 3, the Lord asked Moses, "Moses, what is that in thine hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." Again, God was calling Moses to realize what he had. In the hands of Moses, that's all it was. It was a rod. It was a stick. That's all it was. But entrusted to God, it was so much more. The few loaves that the apostles had, that's all it was in their hands. But entrusted to God, it was so much more. Now I believe the Lord still asks the same questions today. I believe the Lord still asks us, "What is that you have in your hand?" And you might answer, "Not much." You might answer, "Just a rod." The Lord still asks, "How many loaves have ye?" And you might say, "Not many." Or you might even say, I wish I had more." You don't even use what you have. Isn't it amazing? We always want more and we don't even use what we have. How many loaves have ye? We need to know. We need to have some realization of what God has given us. And the truth is this: you have enough to make your life, I'm talking to God's people, you have enough to make your life a continual song of triumph. That's how much you have. You may not have as much as someone else, but what God has entrusted you is of tremendous value. And it's enough to do everything that God would have you to do. That's true of every one of us. We each have that much. But you see, many do like the servant who received one talent. His problem was, he had a couple of problems, but one of them was that he thought, "One talent. What's that? What's that compared to two? What's that compared to five? 16 years of wages. It's no little matter." But that's the way people think. "Oh, I don't have much. I have so little." And that leads them to the conclusion, "I have so little, I'm just not going to use it." And that's what he did. "All I have is this one talent, so I'm just going to bury it." Many of God's people have lived their life doing just that. God has given them years, and they've wasted them. Wasted them. Do not do what this servant did. He thought because he did not have what the others had, that he just wouldn't do anything. That's an unfaithful steward. So we have to have some realization of what we've been entrusted with. We need to take an inventory of what God has entrusted us with, and then we need to be faithful. We need to be wise. God has given us health. He's given us health. None of us know how long you'll be healthy. People get to a point where they become unhealthy and then they begin to complain and they say, "Well, you know, I would serve God, but I can't." You didn't do it when you were healthy either. So let's not go there. Let's not rewrite history. You wasted years and years and years, and now your health is gone. It's been a waste. It's sad. But it's true. Now you can do one of two things. If you have wasted all your healthy years, you can spend the remainder of your years moaning and groaning about that, or you can be a wise and faithful steward to what you have left. But we all have been entrusted with a degree of health. And let's be honest, it's much easier to serve God when you have the strength to do so than when you don't. So we ought to use our health and our ability while we can, because the day may come when that health is gone. We need to use it for His honor and His glory. But we get to thinking, I'm healthy, I'll always be healthy. We ought to know better than that. All we have to do is look around. So God has given us health. God has given us degrees of influence. You say, I don't have any influence. That's not true. That's not true of anybody here. Everybody has influence that knows somebody. If you ever come in contact with people, you have influence. You don't have to hold a position. All you have to do is know somebody, and you've got influence. All you have to do is come into contact with somebody, and you have influence. And I believe that everybody we come into contact with, it's never an accident. God has purposed that. God, at that very moment, has given us some influence, and we're a steward. We're to use it for His honor and His glory. We are obligated to use what we have. We will be held accountable for how we use our influence. We must not be guilty of putting our light under a bushel. God gives us opportunity to speak to somebody. Don't put your light under a bushel. That's just like burying the talent. It's a waste. God gives us opportunities. Oh, how many opportunities we have wasted. How many opportunities that all of us have wasted. God has given us degrees of spiritual knowledge. You're responsible for the knowledge you have, and you're also responsible for doing everything you can to attain or to obtain knowledge. But we have been entrusted with spiritual knowledge. And we're to use that knowledge for His honor and for His glory. God has given us money, and we're obligated to God for every penny that God gives us. Every penny. You say, oh, I only got to give 10% in an offering, the rest is mine. It's not yours. It's never yours. God has a right to ask for every single cent. So we have to be good stewards with our money. God has given us position in our families. That's stewardship. We are accountable for, again, our influence with our families. God has given us position in the workplace. God has given us position in the church. Whatever position God has placed us in, whatever place God has placed us in, that makes us accountable. That makes us responsible. But it also gives us privilege an opportunity. Speaking of privilege, God has given us privileges. God, every day, gives me the privilege and gives me the opportunity to pray. Every day. He gives me that. Every day, He gives me the opportunity and privilege to read His Word. You've got to do something with that. He gives every one of us that opportunity. And every day you do something with that opportunity. And if you do not take that opportunity today, you'll never get it again. Now, tomorrow you'll have the same opportunity, but the one you wasted is gone. That one's gone. Pretty soon, you know, time flies. Before long we're old, we begin to look back on our life and we say, I haven't accomplished anything. I haven't done anything for God. How sad. How sad. He's given us opportunity to obey the Lord, to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord. Every Lord's Day, every Wednesday evening, He gives us the opportunity to meet with the saints of God at Home Baptist Church, to assemble with them. You do something with that opportunity every Sunday and every Wednesday. You do something with it. We're accountable. I don't believe we realize the value of worship. I don't believe we realize the value of being in God's house when the doors are open. We need to take what God gives us. It's sad when, and I've seen it so many times, dear saints of God, no longer able to come to church. And through all their aches and pains, that's not what bothers them. What bothers them is they can't be at the house of God. That breaks my heart. And again, I've said this many times. I do not understand. Do not question God, but I don't understand why there are saints of God who love the Lord and would love to be in God's house, but can't. And then there are those who are perfectly healthy and have every opportunity, and they won't. But it's sad. It's sad when we waste our opportunities. We have the privilege to grow deeper into the joy and love of the Lord. We have the privilege of becoming stronger and more mature in the Lord. These are all things that we are accountable for. God has given us advantages. We live in a country. Just living in the United States gives us many advantages that others do not have. And we'll be accountable for that. We may not always have what we have. We may not always have these advantages. That's in God's hands. But you and I are responsible to use those advantages while we do have them. And we ought to be using them. We have advantages of being able to hear the Word of God preached. We have that advantage in this country. Many do not have that. Many have no idea. Most of the world has no idea of what it's like to sit in a church service like this. They have no idea. They've never experienced it, and most never will. But we've been given that opportunity. We've been given that privilege. What are we going to do with it? God has given us degrees of talents. By this, I mean gifts and abilities. to use them for God's honor. We're to use them for God's glory. Do you use them? Think of the talents and the abilities that God has given you. You say, well, I don't have any. Yes, you do. Everybody does. Do we use them to be a blessing? Every person sitting here tonight, I'm speaking mostly to those who are members of this church or children of God, you have the ability to be a blessing to others. What you do with that, that's your choice. But we all have that ability. God's given us talents. Do we use them to encourage others? Do we use them to enhance and strengthen the body of Christ? Do we use them or do we go out and bury them? What are we doing? What are we doing with the talents that God has given us? Lastly, God has given us time. The value of time. Most outside of salvation, one of the most precious gifts there is, time. No one can afford to waste time. No one. No one can afford to play with the days and years entrusted to them as if there were others which could be secured to replace the ones which are gone. Once this day is over, this day is over. Whatever I have done, whatever I failed to do, it's over. It's done. It's gone. And much time is wasted. Much time has been wasted. Much time is squandered. We don't know how much time God has allotted us, and we don't know how much time we have left of whatever it is He has allotted us. You have no idea. There isn't an individual here that has any clue how much time they have left. Now, some of us, you can do the math, and you can come to the realization you don't have much left. But that may be true of everybody. That may be true of the youngest one here. We don't know. But some for sure can do the math, unless you're going to be Mephibosheth or Methuselah. Unless you're going to be Methuselah, you can do the math and you don't have many years left. What you've done with the years prior to that, they're gone. They're all gone. You have to use whatever time God has given us, whatever we have left, we have to use. His honor and glory. As far as we know, this may be the very last time that you ever sit in this church. You don't know. May be the very last time I ever preach. I don't know. None of us know. All we can do is use what God has given us. Waste is a terrible sin. Wasting a life is terrible. Wasting a life is sad. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to look back and have a bunch of, I wish I had to do that over, and I wish I had to do that over, and that, and that, and that. Where have all the years gone? Many have been wasted. Give account of thy stewardship. Again, Christian stewardship is the recognition God owns it all. It's all His. I own nothing. Everything I have, God has entrusted to us to be used for His honor, for His glory. I believe when you go out and buy an automobile, you ought to pray, and you ought to pray, and you ought to ask God to use that automobile for His honor and for His glory. Whatever you buy, Lord, help me to use this for You. Christian stewardship is the recognition that all we have is unloaned. All we have is unloaned. There in 1 Kings chapter 6, again, we'll not turn there to save time. We're about to close. But you remember the man who lost the asset. And he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." In other words, I lost the asset and it wasn't mine. That's true of everything we have. Borrowed. It's all unloaned. Be faithful to your stewardship. Give account of thy stewardship. God help us not to waste whatever time we have left. We can waste it with worry. We can waste it with fretting. There's unlimited amount of ways that we can waste it. God help us not to waste our lives. And God help us to get serious. We don't have much time left. That's true of all of us, for sure. God help us to get serious about serving the Lord. God help us to commit to using whatever it is that God has given us for His honor, for His glory. I pray that we would go from here only wanting to live for the Lord. Only wanting to live for Him. Only wanting to do what's pleasing to Him. Only wanting to do what would honor and exalt. What kind of steward have you been? Again, whether you've been a good steward or an unfaithful steward, if you've been an unfaithful steward, you don't have to continue that way. What's past is gone. But you don't have to live the rest of your life that way. If you do, it's because you choose to do so. No one else's fault. You choose to do so. God help us to be good stewards. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.